love and I admire about the Irish people. I've studied a little bit of history since I've been here. I found out you've been underdogs for years, hundreds of years. People dominating and ruling you, and you can identify with this freedom struggle, you understand? But I just have mine on the other side of the water. Well, we all are fighting for the same cause and idea, but we have different reasons and different approaches.
A bit of tension, obviously. He's trying to keep us cool, but he looks scared. He looks scared to me. Honestly, he looked frightened.
I don't know what I'm dealing with tonight. I'm fighting someone who's mechanically orientated, and that is just an unknown area. It's not fair that I should be put into this situation.
Go on your way, Mary Robinson, motherfucker to you. I got Stoochie Red for a jab to Katie Taylor.
When I first started walking through, I didn't care King Kong was in the ring because I felt invincible. I felt like a total big war. That's how you should be feeling.
Hello and welcome to the Four Thumps Irish Boxing Podcast with me, your host, Kevin Byrne. I'm joined today by Kieran Gallagher. How are you getting on, Kieran?
Grand. Looking forward to another fantastic show.
Yeah, it's the Andy Lee show this week. It's all about the Limerick Middleweights world title shot against Matt Karabov Saturday night. WBO title is on the line. Could be a big fight, Kieran.
Yeah, I suppose the fight that he's been waiting for a few years now since his loss to Chavez to get another world title opportunity, and probably the best one he could ask for at this stage of his career. Had the Golovkin fight kind of fall by the wayside earlier this year, but I think this is an opportunity that's far more suited to him, and one that he's going to be naturally itching to take and make the most of.
Yeah, Andy's an immensely popular fighter, somebody people want to see do well. You know, he's had a long career at this stage, obviously being at the Olympics for Ireland put him into the public eye, so when he did turn professional there was obviously a lot of focus on him. He turned pro over in America and then came back, and a lot of his fights were on RTE, and I think fights like those in the Bernard Dunne era did bring a lot of new fans into the sport of boxing as well. So he does hold a lot of significance for boxing fans, and maybe it's just his manner and the way he is as well. He always comes across as a gentleman, and he is somebody people want to see do well.
Yeah, he's a very approachable guy, like great to deal with for the media, I have to say. He's always accommodating enough for us, and I don't think he even gets too pissed off whenever we're critical. And then whenever I've seen him interact with fans, he always seems willing to kind of take photos and sign autographs and the like. I suppose the fact that he was an Olympian meant that he was maybe in the wider conscious of the sporting public. But on top of that, the fact that he was a decorated amateur meant that boxing fans knew he was a classy act. Really, the fact that when he went to turn pro and trained with Emmanuel Stewart brought an international amount of attention, and Manny Stewart was talking him up as the world champion from his first fights back in first fights in Ireland when he came back around 2007 or so. And I mean, it's a long time to kind of be seen as a champion in waiting, so I'm sure he wants to deliver on the promise.
Ireland currently has one world champion, Carl Frampton from Belfast. No middleweight champion since Steve Collins in the 90s. A couple of unsuccessful attempts. Andy Lee himself has failed one test against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Matthew Macklin had three goals. John Duddy didn't get a title shot. So there's a lot on the line for Andy. It's always been his dream to be world middleweight champion. This is potentially his last chance as well to do it.
Yeah, I suppose so. Probably, well, I don't know whether we're jumping the gun a bit to say it's his last chance, but like realistically, when you look at his career and kind of the highs and lows that he's had, it probably would be his best chance that he's going to get, seemingly, unless, I mean, you don't want to kind of preempt how the fight's going to go in a negative fashion. But I think Karabov's probably the best opponent that he can face at this time of his career in a world title fight. And the losses that he has suffered in the past, it would be hard to see him rebuild for another opportunity. But at the same time, we'll have to see how this fight goes, I suppose.
Yeah, now I've always enjoyed covering Andy Lee's career for a couple of years. I've worked with Andy Lee, and there was a time I watched him on TV as well. So I want to go through a couple of the Andy Lee moments that stand out for me. At number three is Andy was fighting Willie Gibbs, Bernard Hopkins' cousin, I believe, down in Limerick. And it was coming into the final round, the 10th round, and it was tense because people were expecting Andy Lee to pull out a knockout. And when he did, there was only about 10 seconds left of the fight. I haven't actually gone back to look, but I know there wasn't very long. And sitting right there in the front row, I'd had my eyes pinned on him. It was a boxing journalist who used to work for Setanta Sports and IrishBoxing.com, a guy I know from Blessing, Mark Doyle, and he jumped out of his seat about 5 foot in the air, cheering his hands off. So that's my number three Andy Lee moment, encapsulated. Possibly how some members of the media might feel about Andy Lee's career. They want to see him do well, and sometimes objectivity is almost lost.
Yeah, I suppose objectivity is supposed to be the key word for us all when we're working, but naturally enough, the same as, I suppose, journalists that cover maybe the national soccer team, or even there's plenty of GAA journalists I know that wear their colours nearly on their shirt when it gets to an All-Ireland final stage or that it's hard to dismiss any type of support that you have for a fighter that you admire or that you really would hope to do well. There was a famous incident that I remember Barry McGuigan cited in his book. Well, probably famous for McGuigan fans or for him, that Sean Kilfetter, formerly the Irish Times, now departed. He was photographed leaping from his chair during a McGuigan knockout. So it's been going on for plenty of years. I don't think Mark or anyone of our generation is the first.
Another moment that stands out is Andy Lee's fight with Craig McEwen. It was in Foxwoods in Connecticut, wasn't it? And Andy Lee had supposed to be fighting John Duddy, who actually stepped away from boxing instead of taking the fight and just realised when he went back to the gym time was up. But anyway, Andy Lee was fighting this unbeaten Scottish guy, Craig McEwen. He'd been winning the fight early on, but then McEwen took over. As it headed into the late rounds, McEwen was probably winning on points. Andy Lee scored a knockdown, and then he went in for the kill, knocked him out with a huge left hook. And just as the camera is showing the slow motion replay of the knockout, past walks Andy's brother Roger, who'd been a part of his team for years, and this really dramatic hand snap, and it was just caught in slow motion. I enjoyed that. It was slow motion knockout, hand snap, good stuff.
Yeah, I remember obviously the fight was kind of rebuilt as a Celtic clash after the fact that Duddy pulled out and it was supposed to be an All-Irish battle. So it was a big enough fight, I think, for Andy at that stage of his career. And Roger looked particularly, I suppose, ghetto with his cronk gear on him as well. So he managed to look the part, looking cool and calm at ringside.
Yeah, and number one, the time I actually attended this fight as a fan with a few of my mates down. I was just back from Australia, and a few of my mates got in the car. We went down to the Andy Lee Mamadou Thiam fight. Thiam, legendary knockout artist from France. And Marty Morrissey was getting the crowd warmed up. And the stuff he was saying was crazy. It was like, "People of Limerick, are you ready to go crazy for Andy Lee?" And the fans in the UL arena were getting a bit excited. But then I think the killer line, "People of Limerick, are you ready to get down on your knees for Andy Lee?" And it was a top moment. The lads are kind of looking at me really bemused. I hope I haven't misquoted Marty, but these are the memories that stay with me.
Yeah, well, I suppose Marty demanding that a whole city or a whole county get on their knees does sound a bit of an odd one. He naturally brings a bit of colour to most occasions that he's involved with. I do remember a colleague reliably enough informing me, as far as I understand, that Marty once had to have Andy Lee pointed out to him when he was told that he was in attendance at a Bernard Dunne fight. I don't think he recognised him. So he obviously, his feelings towards Andy must have swayed fairly dramatically over the course of a year or so.
Shots fired, Kieran. Maybe he just couldn't find him in the crowd. Maybe.
I don't think so when he has to ask who he is, but there you go. Maybe not.
Well, as part of our Andy Lee Matt Karabov special, we've lined up a couple of good interviews for you. Later on, we'll be hearing from Irish amateur boxing great Kenneth Egan. But first, I spoke to Leonard Gunning of the BoxingIreland.com website, and he also is active. He's also running one of the most active Twitter accounts in Irish boxing, Love Irish Boxing. I know Leonard is, so I asked him, "Are you excited about the fight?"
I can't wait for it. I'm absolutely buzzing. It's probably the fight I've been buzzing most about since maybe Andy Lee's last fight with Chavez Jr. You know, it's a really high-profile fight, American TV, against a really quality name that it just oozes class. The whole everything about it, the HBO production in Las Vegas. I just can't wait. I really, really can't wait for it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, like Andy Lee's last fight delivered on the excitement quotient anyway, didn't it, against John Jackson?
Well, he always delivers on the excitement level because he puts himself in vulnerable positions. And that's what people like to see. A guy who's vulnerable, yeah, who can get hit, but also has it in the locker to knock someone spark out, like what he did against Jackson. A fantastic showreel knockout that has been played over and over again. I think he's probably got more publicity in Ireland over that one knockout at light middleweight than he did when he fought for the world title against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. in El Paso. It's a good point, Leonard. It's kind of insane the way that fight went under the radar. I think Lee's last world title fight came right in the middle of Euro 2012 when people were obviously a bit preoccupied with what was going on in Poznan. But the last, his fight against Jackson was kind of shared all around. And I saw a lot of people commenting, oh, is Andy Lee still fighting? And I found that crazy, you know, obviously following the game. But that seemed to be the reality among some sports fans out there.
Well, it's like the Vine culture or Instagram culture. When you get like a 4 second or 10 second clip that is as explosive and topsy-turvy as that knockout against Jackson, where Lee was on the ropes and sort of reeled backwards towards the corner, and Jackson rushed in and he just pulled it out of nowhere. He just ripped out of nowhere. And then he was out before he hit the canvas. It's something as explosive as that that really sort of goes viral. And I had a lot of people who wouldn't necessarily be boxing fans saying, oh yeah, did you see that Lee guy's knockout? Wasn't that unbelievable? So he's on a bit of a crest of a wave with that in terms of popularity. And also the Americans love that. You know, it's really catapulted him back into contention in a lot of people's eyes. And he deserves it. No man deserves it more.
Yeah. Now, Ireland's been blessed with some very good middleweights in the last few years. There's the kind of holy trinity of John Duddy, Andy Lee, and Matthew Macklin. Looks like if Macklin decides to kind of exit stage left, and Duddy never got to the world title either, Lee's got a decent chance. Ireland hasn't had a middleweight champion since Steve Collins, I don't believe. How big would it be for the game here if Lee was to pull it off?
It'd be a massive coup. It's a legitimate world title against a legitimate contender. It's not an interim title. It's not it's not some hocus pocus WBF. It's a legitimate world title against an unbeaten amateur standout who's been pushed heavily by HBO and Top Rank. It would be a real fillip for the game south of the border, which has been really on its ass since Bernard Dunn got knocked out. And it's a fantastic mesh of styles between the two of them. There's a lot of correlation between the two fighters as well, which makes me think it's a lot more of an even fight than the bookies have chalked it up as. Two southpaws, two guys who have got great amateur background. Obviously Karabov is outstanding on amateur background. But two guys who haven't really fulfilled the potential that they were supposed to get when they turned pro. So this is a real chance. But I actually really think Andy's got an edge because of his experience and because of his losses. You know, there's a little bit of another correlation between the Saunders fight and Eubank Jr., where Saunders had been through it a little bit, had some tougher tests, and then coming up against a guy who'd never really, really done it against Eubank, and that's where Eubank probably fell down a bit. So I'm hoping there's a little bit of that, and that Andy's experience at world level, having losses, having to come back, having to dig deep, that'll be enough for him to come through with a win. And I'd love even to see a knockout win, but I'd take any kind of win.
Yeah, true, and you're correct on that. He does hold the edge in experience here. He was saying in recent interviews he's knocked out more guys probably than Karabov has fought, and he has in this world title fight before, and he has kind of travelled around America with Emmanuel.
And it's his fourth fight, and it's his fourth fight in Vegas, you know, and it's 20 odd fights in America he's had. So it's not like he's a lot of these matchroom guys who go sent over, you know, the Gavin Reeses and this type of guy that's sent over as fodder almost. Fodder is maybe a bit of a harsh term, but sent over to America to fight the champion, and they haven't really experienced the whole American vibe of how they put on their productions. And he's definitely no stranger to it. He's had more fights over there than he's had over here.
And regarding Lee's current form, would you be more of a glass half full or half empty kind of guy? Because I guess you can chart from the time he's joined Adam Booth, he kind of laboured to a win against Anthony Fitzgerald. He had that first round knockout over Cunningham. Against Hirosh Horta, he was poor, and he could have actually lost that fight. I think he came away with a majority decision win. And then against John Jackson, he was taking pressure for a few rounds before he pulled out that epic knockout.
Yeah.
I'd almost be a glass half full kind of guy because I've seen the development in his different fights. And obviously the Hirosh Horta was his first at light middleweight. And I didn't think he looked too panicked against John Jackson. And he did pull out a knockout that he had predicted he would do. I was speaking to him in midweek before that fight. And he was predicting a similar kind of performance, which is what we saw. How do you see it? Do you see his form? Do you see him on the slide a little bit?
Well, you say it's a glass half full. I would have liked it to be a glass three quarters full. You know what I mean? Because that's where he should be at the moment. It should, like, I do see the positives, but you're right. There are some negatives in there, and there are, like, you know, there's the concentration element of Andy, and the sort of switches off a little bit, and sometimes fighting on the inside and getting a little bit ruffled, and then maybe he fades down the stretch as well. You know, there's all these things with Andy that makes him not be the pound for pound champion that maybe some people were predicting when he turned pro. And I don't mean just Manuel Stewart. There's a lot of people. He's on the front of the he's named by Ring magazine to be one of their potential world champions as soon as he turned pro.
Yeah.
But he has his vulnerabilities, and his vulnerabilities have been not exposed, but a little bit of a light shine on him in the last few fights with Adam Boole. But you know, they're learning. You could see this progression as a fighter under Adam Boole. A change from one trainer like that to another doesn't happen overnight. So I'm definitely looking on the positives, and I really feel that he has the attributes to go and take that title. You know, Karabov, whilst unbeaten and whilst a double world champion as an amateur, he hasn't really set things alight in the pro ranks. So it's not to be, Andy won't be anything to fear from him. Quite the opposite. I think he'll be going in there extremely confident and seeing this as probably his best chance ever to get a world title. Because you would think that Karabov in the middleweight division, you know, there's a lot of other stronger guys out there you would prefer Andy to not be facing as opposed to Karabov. You know, and I'm thinking like Golovkin automatically when I say that.
Of course, yeah. Well, hopefully he does the job and kind of disproves the theory that nice guys finish last. Leonard, I want to talk about Ireland's other world champion, Ralph Branson. A tweet put out by Cyclones Promotions has said that his next fight will be against Chris Avalos in Belfast in February or March. Will he be making the trip over for that? Looking forward to it?
Can't wait for it. You know, he's not our other world champion. He's our only world champion at the moment, but hopefully he'll be our other world champion by then.
Yeah.
But yeah,
thanks for that.
Listen, yeah, no problems. I love when people pull me up, so I don't mind doing it myself. Yeah, well, listen, there's nothing in concrete. Yeah, you saw the tweet from Cyclone Promotion, which they kind of had their hand pushed a little bit by tweets, including one from myself, claiming that it was going to be in London. Now, there has been a lot of talk about London. That's not something that has just come overnight. There's been a lot of talk about London. Him fighting in London for probably about 2 months. And
yeah, he's based there. He likes his skinny jeans and his flat caps. And it's a bigger audience and the chance to get more people into a venue. It does make sense. I know he's got a big army of fans in Belfast, but I'm sure a lot of them would be happy to travel to London. It's just, you know, obviously looking
at but the thing that I see against London is he's got a ready-made fan base there. Selling 10,000 plus tickets in London, I'm sure he could do it, but he definitely can do it in Belfast. So there's a risk element to bringing him to London. And not only that, but the Northern Ireland government invested heavily in propping up the promotion for the Martinez fight. And it'd be a funny one if they weren't rewarded by having his first defense of that title in Belfast. So whilst I can see reasons why he would be in London, I can also see stronger reasons why he would be in Belfast. Indoor, obviously, of course, indoor. And the only place to do an indoor one at the moment is the Odyssey.
Yeah.
So, and now Avalos, whilst Frampton's riding on the crest of a wave, he's not the biggest name in the division. Definitely a solid challenger, but if it's in Belfast, it probably makes a lot more sense. And then hopefully it tees up a massive fight then with Quigg, you know.
Summer showdown with Quigg, yeah. Leonard, you've promoted a couple of shows yourself. Your last one was in Belfast, I believe, with Mark Dunlop. You doing anything yourself on the promotional front? And are you, who are you managing these days? Who are you involved with?
I'm involved only with Michael Sweeney. And I also signed Oisin Fagan on the day before his last fight, which potentially is his last fight. So it's probably the shortest reign as a manager in Irish boxing history. Yeah. Less than 24
hours or whatever, yeah.
So yeah, so that's something I can have engraved on my headstone. But listen, I'm involved with the actually looking at putting on a couple of things media wise, which we've spoken about before. But I don't really want to talk too much about them until I get the green light. And I'm also doing a weekly column for the Irish Post, who really started back in Irish boxing quite considerably, and they've got two articles on Andy Lee in their newspaper this week as well. So it's and that's the biggest newspaper for the Irish in Britain as well, and does a big circulation. So
very good.
Keeps me busy.
Well, Leonard, look, keep up the good work anyway, and you can think of a few more things to put on your epitaph on the headstone. You might get a Celtic Warrior belt wrapped around the top of it or something like that.
Lovely. All right, listen, chat to you later, mate.
Thanks, Leonard.
Okay, it was great to get the insight there from Leonard Gunning. It's good stuff. He's excited about the fight, I can tell.
Yeah, well, even before we get back to the Andy Lee fight, which is obviously the main one for the week, a bit of chat there between us about Carl Frampton's situation. Confirmed that he's going to be fighting Chris Avalos by Cyclone Promotions. The details, I suppose, have yet to be announced next week. I think both of us and plenty of others have heard a few things floating around, which Leonard had hinted at, including the possibility of a London venue. Cyclone have said it's going to be Belfast, but I suppose a lot of the conundrums involved, particularly the elephant in the room, that's Scott Quigg, which I'm sure isn't the best description for him, but that still lingers in the background.
The cheetah in the room or something.
The chippy in the chipper.
Well, Frampton's going to have a press conference in Belfast next week, so we're hoping to have one or two or maybe even three members of the Four Tumps team on the ground, finding out what's the crack and seeing how it's going. But we'll switch focus back to Andy Lee, obviously, because Frampton has achieved his goal of being a world champion. And we actually met Andy Lee up there that night, and I was almost asking him, is it poignant watching Carl Frampton win a world title on his first attempt, considering, you know, you lost your big night and all the attention Frampton fought in front of 16,000 fans at home? And it's something I might have touched on with Leonard back there. Lee's world title fight didn't garner all that much attention because back home it clashed with soccer, and that was that.
Yeah, there was a few very interesting points there, I thought. Leonard, I think, hinted at the fact that Lee might be used to the US side of the razzmatazz, having fought on HBO and fought in America since the early stage of his pro career. But I suppose looking at the Chavez fight, yeah, it really went under the radar. I think it was a few months after Macklin's title fight as well, against Martinez, and a very unusual situation. When I spoke to John Duddy before the fight, he described, when I asked him about going into a tough backyard, he described going into El Paso as being like the devil's playground. So it wasn't probably the nicest venue to have to go to, quite a difficult place as well to travel, which meant there probably wasn't as support as there much Irish support as there might have been if it was in one of the more traditional kind of green tinted cities like Boston or New York. I suppose one of the traditional hotbeds for Irish support in America, which maybe John Duddy and Matthew Macklin were able to tap into, and Lee even himself when he fought in New York a few times. Very difficult place to go to fight Chavez in particular, and a very difficult fight. I think I had him up winning on points after a few rounds, which a lot of people did maybe after four or five rounds, and then started to tire. There was very unusual circumstances, some suspicion around Chavez obviously from some quarters afterwards, which I suppose he can't really claim turned out to be justified, but I suppose still question marks linger over certain instances. But overall, it was a very difficult opportunity. It was very tough fight, and like I'd imagine Lee has definitely learned from the experience anyway.
Yeah, I was asking Andy earlier on this week, I did an interview with him, and I have a few pieces in the Irish Sun this week about it, and I was asking him the main bit of difference between himself and Khabib, and does he feel that the particular bumps in the road in his career have assisted him? Because both guys turned pro as kind of highly rated, decorated amateur southpaws, were much feated. Lee has gone through a couple of defeats, whereas Khabib hasn't had to taste that experience. I asked Andy if he thinks, on account of his, I guess the point I was trying to make was, when Andy was working under Emmanuel Stewart, he used to travel to world title fights all over America every weekend when Emmanuel was either training guys or working on HBO. And I was asking him if he feels that the experience of attending all these title fights and having had one himself and other defeats, if they'll stand to his benefit. And here's what he said. He goes, "I'm not really concerned with how Khabib feels. My experience, having fought Chavez, being with Emmanuel all these years in boxing, is the main thing that separates me and Khabib. It's probably my best advantage, what I've been through. I've been around it countless times, and I've fought better fighters than he has and different styles than him. I've fought adversity before, all the time. He's never been tested in the ring since he turned pro, and he knows it himself. There's going to be a big anxiety for internally for him, because this will be the first time he's fought when he's not been the clear favourite to win. He's been well matched, blah, 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 and he hasn't looked out of this world. With that said, this is a fight for a world championship, and it's the biggest fight of our lives."
Yeah, I suppose that the one concern I'd have, and it's something that yourself and Leonard hinted at there, is in terms of form, Andy's kind of been up and down over the course of his relationship with Adam Booth since he had him as a trainer. Like, he really wasn't impressive in the fight against Horta and looked very lackluster, and in the win against Jackson ended up being him recording that showreel knockout. But before that, he was in a bit of trouble, and you'd have to be concerned. But at the same time, Khabib hasn't set the world alight as a pro, despite the fact that he was a fantastic amateur with a fantastic record and achieved a lot. But I think Lee does have an amount of experience that will give you a bit of confidence, despite the fact that he was adapting to a new trainer and adapting to some new tactics. And like, he's boxed at a high level, and he's well able to defend himself. I know we have an interview coming up with Kenneth Egan, and he kind of hints at how tough Andy is and how strong a chin he has. So we're looking forward to listening to that one.
Yeah, Kenneth obviously came along with Andy. He, as he speaks about in the interview, he was a senior when Andy entered as a 15, 16-year-old into the high-performance setup. So he's watched him come along, and yeah, I guess we can hear from Kenneth now, see what he says.
Yeah, some very insightful points coming up in this. Kenneth, a former amateur teammate of Andy Lee. So Kevin spoke to him just a few days ago.
I'm joined on the line now by Irish Olympic silver medalist and amateur boxing legend Kenny Egan, a good friend of Andy Lee's. Hi there, Kenneth.
How are you keeping, Kev? I'm still called a legend, huh?
Well, you know, you've got a few years of grace yet. Anyway, Henry Shefflin only just matched your 10 titles, so...
I know, fair play to him. Good old skin.
Yeah, so you've got a few years left. How are you keeping, Ken?
Good, yeah, all good. Just keeping the good side out. You know, yeah. Doing a small bit of training and just keeping fit.
Very good, very good. Are you excited for the fight on Saturday night? I know you've been supporting Andy's career the whole way.
To be honest, when it was mentioned back in August, September, I was looking to go over, but I'm just too much on my plate, so unfortunately I have to watch it on my couch. But I'm really looking forward to this fight. This is going to be a fantastic clash of the southpaws as well, so it's a 50-50 scrap, Kev.
I know we all know a lot about Andy Lee's career. We've watched him on TV. He started out on RTE, and many of us have seen him on Sky Sports, Box Nation. But Khabib, you've got a bit more insight into his career.
Matt Khabib, yeah, the Russian middleweight. He's been around a long time, even in the amateurs. You know, he's been senior champion for Russia for a number of years. Went on then to win a few world titles as an amateur. But I think, and even, like, this is how good he is. When we were over in the training camp in Russia and we come back to Ireland, Zor had us doing stuff that he would do. And if Zor is teaching us, you know, to do stuff from his stable, well, then you know it's good stuff. Because he's well balanced, he's so fast, his footwork is fantastic, and his punching power as well in both hands is really, really good. So he's an all-rounder, he has it all, you know. He's not that big for middleweight, mind you, Kev, but he hits very hard.
Do you recall what those sort of exercises or how you doing were?
It was just, you know, his biomechanics and his body mass, shifting from one leg to the other and transmitting the body weight from each leg, you know, so he can, like I said, he can get power in both hands. But just jumping, you know, at a body weight from left to right.
Yeah.
But he's a really good talent. I remember we were in a training camp in the Chemistry Cup we went to the training camp and then boxed in the Chemistry Cup, and he fought Darren Sutherland in the semi-finals of the competition, and he knocked Darren out with a jab. So that shows you the power he has, you know, and that's, again, like, you know, transferring his body weight from one side to the other and just exploding. So he has got punching power, but Andy's tough. Andy has a great chin as well, so and I'm sure it will be tested on Saturday night, but like I said, it's going to be a 50-50 fight, Kev.
Can you remember Darren Sutherland's reaction to that fight?
He was in awe, I have to say. He really was. But in saying that, he was only new to the team, and he was still fresh, you know, is Darren. He was only getting a hold of the high performance program. But the year, 2 months before the Olympic Games, we were in a training camp in Russia, and he held his own against the same man. So it just shows you, you know, a couple of years' experience under his belt, he was able to stand there with Korobov and match him, you know, blow for blow.
Yeah, I guess the amateur game is totally different to the professionals. I believe that the better amateur career you have, chances are the better professional you are. But of course, it's different. Have you followed Korobov's career since he has turned professional?
I've seen a number of his fights already. You know, he looks good. He punches hard. But one of his fights I watched on YouTube, he was boxing the head off this American, and he got clipped. It was a lucky shot your man threw, and Korobov was, you know, was nearly taken out. But, you know, I suppose he gathered himself fairly quick, and he ended up just boxing the ears off the American. But his career has been up and down. You know, he hasn't really done anything fancy, but again, he hasn't lost either. So he's been tipping away and just waiting for his opportunity. And this is it now. And I think the two of them have to take this title. This is the biggest fight of their lives, I suppose. It's a world title clash, and I suppose winner takes all. So everything is up for grabs here. So everything is going to be left in the ring, if you like, Kev.
And do you fancy Andy Lee's chances of pulling off the victory?
I would love to. Andy has been a special talent right from the start. I remember him coming onto the team as a 15, 16-year-old when I was senior. And he went out to the World Juniors, and he won a silver medal. He got beaten by a Cuban in the final. From then on, he showed that he is one of the best. And when it's put up to him, Andy can stand there and he can take it. He is an exceptional talent. And something inside me tells me that he can do it Saturday night. I'm very seldom wrong, Kev. But I'd love the gods to be on his side. You know what I mean? Just one last time. Because he deserves the world title. He's been knocking on the door for long enough. And I think he deserves this one.
Okay. I presume you're going to be glued to the screen, Kenneth.
I will indeed. I have my alarm set and all for half two.
Your alarm set? You don't stay up late for them, no?
Ah, no. I go to bed and get back up. Sure, it'll be too long. It'll be too late. I'm getting old now, Kev. You don't have to...
I'm envious of that. Yeah, you got to look after yourself.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a million for joining us tonight, Kenneth.
Thanks for having me, Dev. Good man.
Hope to have you back on fourth home soon.
Please, God. Yeah, good stuff. You're doing a great job, by the way. Fantastic stuff.
Thanks very much.
Okay, Kenneth Egan there, Olympic silver medalist, speaking to our own Kevin Byrne, a former teammate of Andy Lee, and some very interesting stuff, I have to say, very insightful stuff about Lee's opponent this Saturday night, Matt Korobov, in terms of his amateur pedigree and his amateur talent, even an influence on the Irish High Performance Unit.
Yeah, Kenneth didn't even mention the fact that he has sparred Korobov before in training camps that the Irish attended in Russia, and he's talked to me about it before, I think, and you know, so he knows exactly how good he is, and seeing him knock out Darren Sutherland with a jab does indicate it. But you don't win two world championship golds by being in any way an average fighter. You have to be exceptional. No Irishman's ever won one. Like Jason Quigley, to put it in context, is the most successful Irish amateur middleweight of all times, probably because he won that silver and a European gold, whereas the likes of Andy Lee and Darren Sutherland, Darren O'Neill, and the multitude of top middleweights who came before them didn't really hit those heights in the amateur game. I guess it's down to the high performance unit, which Andy was a part of. Billy Walsh always says that if Andy stayed on board for the 2008 Beijing Olympics, he would have been a favourite for, he would have won the gold. That's what Billy likes to say.
Yeah, even Ken himself, I suppose, was middleweight for a period of his amateur career, successful on the domestic stage and to an extent at the international stage, but never took the step up at that weight that he eventually did at light heavyweight. It's obviously an extremely difficult task to win a medal at World Championships, let alone to achieve two golds as Korobov did. He really has that pedigree. I don't know. I really haven't seen enough of him to be confident in judgment to say whether he can succeed to the same extent as a pro. What I mean by seeing enough of him as a pro, like, I mean, his record wouldn't really scare you as a professional record.
No, but the fear for Lee is that Khabib is only fighting to the levels he's been put at, and when he goes in against a fighter like Andy Lee, who's definitely a step up from the opposition he's been against, he'll have the class to go up a gear. We often see with a lot of fighters, they fight to their levels, the people they're put in against. We've seen many top fighters struggle against journeymen, people who are there to survive. And when they are stepped up against a top fighter who'll ask them questions, that's when they're at their most devastating. So that is the danger with Khabib. He hasn't exactly lost it. But I guess the positive from Andy's point of view is that he's looking at Khabib thinking, okay, you're a top 3-round fighter. I've proved myself as a 10, 12-round fighter, and I can knock out people late. We spoke about the McEwen and Gibbs fights earlier on, where he scored late knockouts. I know the Jackson fight came only midway through, or it was the 5th round. But Andy Lee carries power from start to finish, and if the fight is in the mix, that's another point he was talking about in an interview I did with him earlier on this week. If Andy sees himself losing this fight on points, and he does expect to be outboxed in some rounds, he's going to go hell for leather. He'll throw his hands down and make it a fight. And the one thing Andy Lee doesn't want to do is lose his fight on points. He doesn't want to concede defeat to anybody. So if he sees himself, he's kind of like Macklin against Hyland. When he knew it wasn't going his way last month, he decided to just go all out, and he got knocked out in the process. It's an admirable trait for, I guess, boxers who want to be self-styled warriors. Andy Lee certainly carries that, and he has no intention of losing this on points. He says, if it is going down to the wire and it looks like he's going to lose on points, he's going to go all out for a knockout.
Yeah, it's another intriguing part in the mix. Like, I mean, you mentioned there over the fact that his record, I suppose, suggests that he rises to the occasion when he fights fighters. And I know we touched on this when we actually spoke with Andy a few weeks ago on the phone. Like, you mentioned the Harder fight where he didn't look too impressive, and maybe you could put it down to not getting up for the occasion, which even Macklin as well, I think we touched on, has often cited that as a factor in his career. But the two of them really have no excuse. They're both going to be up for the occasion. Interesting to hear as well that Kenny hints at the fact that Khabib has power in both of his hands. So Lee, despite having his knockout punch that he can take someone out, is up against someone who's going to be dangerous throughout the fight, if that's still the case, if he's carrying his power into the pro game as well, which you'd have to imagine he does, smaller gloves and the likes that goes with it. On top of that, though, like, there's the interesting fact that, which I think again Ken touched on, Andy Lee is a great chin, and even in the Chavez fight he took some massive punches before that fight was stopped. Even in earlier rounds, even some of the rounds that he was winning, took some punches flush when he was kind of sitting on the ropes and absorbing a lot of shots, and took big punches to the body, big punches to the chin as well. So I mean, very interesting to see what way the fight develops and whether it ends up being an aggressive slugfest or points or that.
Yeah, and Andy Lee has only been on the floor once. That was in his last fight, and he was a bit shocked by that, but he maintains he wasn't hurt, and it actually boosted his confidence that he knew once he could recover so quickly, he was going to be okay. Okay, so our expert analyst, Eric Donovan, can't make it here with us this week, but he did send in his thoughts on the fight. Eric and Andy are long-standing friends, so he does admit that he has a little bit of bias towards him, but he's also an intelligent assessor of the fight as well, and he knows Khabib going back years. So here's Eric's take on the big one.
What an opportunity for the boxing fans and the sporting fans alike around the world to get, you know, a glimpse at these two guys, these two technical geniuses going head to head and putting it all on the line for the greatest prize in boxing, that world title. I know it's Andy's second opportunity, second chance to fight for a world title, but I don't believe he was ready when he boxed Julio Cesar Chavez 2.5 years ago. I think the odds were stacked against him. I think he came a little bit too early in his career, and I just don't think he was ready for it at that time, and he came up short. But I think he's ready for this one. I think he's ready. I think there's been a lot of changes in Andy's life over the last 2.5 years. He's had a different level of maturity. He has a lot more experience. He's hitting with a lot more power. He's certainly talking with a lot more conviction. Some people would have said Andy Lee is almost too nice to be a boxer, you know, and he's got that, you know, very respectable kind of a guy, nice guy, Mr. Popular. But, you know, this is boxing, this is professional boxing, and sometimes you really have to show that killer instinct. But In fairness to Andy, he's starting to show that over the last couple of fights, particularly especially the one against Daryl Cunningham, when he just really wiped him out in the first round. And you know, he showed the power that he possesses against John Jackson as well, when he delivered that devastating uppercut and one of the knockouts of the year, without a doubt. So Andy's, he's coming off a couple of good wins, and here he is. And this is a fight that he has a very, very, very good chance of winning. His opponent, Mak Karabov, without doubt one of the best amateur boxers I've ever had the pleasure of training alongside. He was boxing alongside too, indeed. I boxed in the same world championships as him in Chicago in 2007. He took the gold medal there, but he was always a joy to watch. Just his balance and his power and his technical ability, it was just phenomenal. It was textbook stuff. But he's failed to kind of bring that same form with him from the amateur into the professional game. And but I wouldn't be too fooled about it. I wouldn't be too maybe hung up on it, because at the end, if you look at his record, he's still undefeated in the professional game. He's 24-0 at 14 KOs, but he certainly hasn't boxed the caliber of opponents that Andy Lee would have mixed with. And I think that will stand to Andy. I think Andy will have a much better advantage in terms of rounds boxed, being in tough fights, being down in the trenches, getting off the canvas. Andy has also climbed off the canvas to win fights, even most recently against John Jackson. So I think Andy Lee is a lot more courageous and a lot more, he has a great chin. I think a lot of people underestimate the actual power and the guts that Andy has. So I think that will stand to him. Andy's also a little bit taller than Karabov, but the two of them are very, very similar in how they box and how they fight. Well, more so boxing than fighting, because they are two counter punchers as well. They like to kind of make the opponent miss, counter with the shots, left hands to the body, left uppercuts to the body, right hooks up to the head. Two of them, both boxers' favorite. One of their favorite punches is the right hook. So this is really going to be a technical battle between both. I can see it going, to and fro. So Andy's going to have to be very, very, very switched on, very focused and very calculated, because we do know Karabov has power. He has power in both hands, and he's very quick and very effective. But like we said, he hasn't been in the same kind of situations as Andy has, where getting off the ring, going digging deep. Andy's been in a couple of wars, really, really close toe-to-toe battles, and I think that can stand to him. Just looking at, they're very evenly matched, and in terms of in age and height, and almost like the same stance, the southpaw style. Both boxers actually they fight almost identically to each other. So it's really up there. It's in the air. It's an intriguing fight. It's one that I'm really looking forward to, and I really believe that this could be Andy Lee's destiny. I know I'm biased when I say that, because he's a good friend of mine, but I think Andy has come through an awful lot. He really has, over the past number of years, with the passing of his coach, Manuel Stewart, and obviously now he's with a new coach, Adam Boot, and they're doing great work together. They seem to be gelling and clicking as a team. And but even the big fights that were lined up for Andy there just recently with Golovkin, and that fell through because Golovkin's father passed away, and the Cotto, the big blockbuster with Cotto, didn't come true either. So, the professional game can be a very insecure business at times as well. But, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And Andy has always been prepared and always soldiered along, and has always been in the gym. And, now he has his opportunity. Here it is, come Saturday night, in the early hours of Sunday morning in Las Vegas. Fingers crossed, that Andy Lee can become Ireland's next world champion and join Carl Frampton. So fingers crossed for Andy, and the best of luck to you, Andy, from all at Four Thumbs. Thank you, and best of luck.
Okay, Eric Donovan there, the missing member of the Four Thumbs team, but we managed to get his thoughts, and obviously a close friend, Andy Lee's, but we wholeheartedly agree with the sentiments there, wishing Andy the best of luck.
Yeah, our thanks to AWOL Eric there. No problem, bud. And Andy Lee, if he does win this fight as well, there's something we haven't discussed, and it's the boost that he can give to Irish boxing itself. Every week we seem to be kind of putting some other guy forward as, oh, can he be the saviour of Irish boxing, in the same way maybe that Frampton has brought huge crowds into Belfast. Stephen Ormond was supposed to fight this weekend in Sheffield, and that fight in a world title eliminator was cancelled when Stephen took ill. If Andy wins, he has told me that he wants to defend, like, it's quite obvious, I guess, but he's told me that he wants to defend his title against Billy Joe Saunders in Dublin or Limerick, and he will be pushing for that. So while we're missing a headliner, as Macklin has kind of stepped to the sideline, maybe Lee, if he does win the world title, he'll hold all the cards when it comes to fighting Billy Joe Saunders, and he could end up getting that fight staged in Ireland.
Yeah, I suppose the interesting one is what the promotional arrangements will be. More than likely, I suppose it is. Yeah, it is a mandatory defence for Saunders, just with the way the situation's panned out. And I'm sure Frank Warren's going to have a say in that, or will want to have a say, I should say. So he'll probably, I'd imagine, be pushing for a London venue unless he sees an attraction coming to Ireland. But then at the same time, there's plenty of wriggle room, and I'm sure there's going to be other promoters probably going to have Matrim and a few others interested in it too.
Yeah, hopefully the more interest in the fight and the more Irish people that get behind this Andy, if he does win the world title, can show that there is an appetite for this kind of boxing here. Another emerging star last week was the prize fighter winner John O'Carroll. Sky Sports, it was shown in pubs across the country. I know his town of Dunshaughlin went crazy. I'm pretty sure Brian Peters put on a few free sandwiches or free sausage rolls and stuff to get people in. But he really impressed to win the prize fighter championship. 32 grand, won the first fight against the favourite Stevie Foster Jr. in decent fashion. The next fight against tournament favourite Gary Buckland. Foster was the second favourite. Buckland was the favourite. I thought John got quite lucky in that fight. I would have had scored that 2-1 to Buckland, but at the same time, I was still very impressed by John O'Carroll in what was, at the time, his fifth professional fight, a 3-rounder against Gary Buckland is levels above. There's not many lightweights in Ireland who beat Gary Buckland. And John O'Carroll, he fought quite well. It was a close fight. He won that by split decision. And then in the final against Michael Devine, he just fairly dominated a guy who looked quite impressive on the other side of the draw. Knockout victories and stuff like this. So Carroll, all of a sudden, has gained himself quite a significant amount of fame in Irish boxing context.
Yeah, great wins for him. Particularly when you kind of touch on the fact that Buckland is seasons in comparison to Carroll, and I mean he's able to hold his own. No matter what way you kind of look at the decision, it was a close encounter. And I think when we spoke about it in our preview of the tournament, we unanimously, myself, yourself, and Johnny Staple and IrishBoxing.com all said that we felt Carroll had a decent chance. I don't know whether any of us were putting money on it, and I was shocked to hear that his odds had drifted as wide as 14-1 at one stage. So anyone who threw a couple of quid really made a nice few bob out of it. But Buckland was the bookie's favourite. I had said beforehand that it was the most obvious choice on paper, but Carroll proved that he's obviously able to box at a decent level, and I mean it's really going to be a major boost to his career now at this stage.
Jono made a lot of people a lot of money, and sneaky old Johnny was in with us last week, and he didn't tell us he got the big bucks on John O'Carroll. I know the odds were only released probably as we were sitting around that table making last week's podcast, but between Johnny and his partner at IrishBoxing.com, Derek, they split 750. So happy days for them.
Well, Johnny owes a couple of quid, so in that case.
Right, well, look, thanks again for tuning into the Four Tumps Irish Boxing Podcast with myself, Kevin Byrne, and Kieran Gallagher. It's all about Andy Lee against Matt Korobov. Ireland has had world champions in most weights, but it's been a while since we've had a world middleweight champion. Steve Collins was the last. He stepped up to super middleweight. We've had challengers since. A lot of people go close. Andy's had his chance before. This is the big one. Fighting for the vacant crown. Here's hoping he can do it.
Yeah, I'm relying on the facts of the boxing sage Jerry Callahan that says I think we've had 20 legitimate world champions. So here's to Andy Lee becoming number 21 this weekend.